Hello again. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday. Never miss a chance to have sex or appear on television. Gore Vidal said that. Never eat Chinese food in Oklahoma. A New York Times food writer said that. Never use a long word when a short one would do. My mother used to say that. That's a common one. Never make a speech at a country dance or a football game. Lyndon Johnson said that. We're going to speak this hour of the program with the author of Neverisms, a quotation lover's guide to things you should never do, never say, or never forget. Dr. Marty Grothy is a psychologist, a management consultant, and a public speaker. We've had him on frequently because he's the author of five previous word and language books. I Never Metaphor, I Didn't Like, get it? Viva la Repartee, Oxymoronica, Ifarisms, and Never Let a Fool Kiss You or a Kiss Fool You. He is a lifelong quotation collector, and he is with us this hour. We also want to say that we have a fun thing going on this hour. If you send us a Neverism on Facebook, or you call with one, or you send an email, Marty is going to determine which one is the best that he would include in his future quotations. And the winner will receive a copy of Neverisms. It's a wonderful book. You'll like it. It's great. So here's the Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. The phone number is 800-486-8655. The email address is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Hi, Marty.
Hello, Kathleen. We might want to add a new Neverism. How about never miss a chance to appear on Wisconsin Public Radio?
Oh, Marty, that's the best one I've ever heard. That's great. You know what I really love about these two is that they're not just Neverisms. You have these profoundly interesting backstories that go with a lot of these Neverisms.
Well, you know, thank you, Kathleen. I appreciate your mentioning that. You know, as you know from our previous conversations, I've been collecting quotations for more than a half a century. But way back when, 20, 30 years ago, even though I love quotations, one of my areas of frustration when I was reading through a quotation book is after two or three or four or five pages of quotation after quotation after quotation, even the most interesting ones get a little boring. And so, I always thought to myself, wouldn't it be nice if somebody would write a book of quotations and every now and then just tell a little story about the author or the backstory behind the quotation or explain something in the quotation that relates to something else that might be relevant. And, you know, that's kind of what I've been doing. And happily, a lot of readers are enjoying that.
The book is in all different categories. It's political Neverisms. It's Neverisms about life. It's tell us what the categories are and why you decided to put them in different categories and what your favorite category happens to be.
Oh, that's a tough one. Well, this is my sixth quotation anthology now in the last 12 years. And, when anybody collects things, if you collect coins or stamps or butterflies or quotations, what happens is after a while, when you get 500 or 1,000 or, in my case, hundreds of thousands of them, you begin to see them sort out into categories. And you don't want to put them together. I mean, if you've got quotations that have to do with wit and wordplay, you don't want to put those into the ones that have to do with words to live by. And then, of course, we have all the kind of natural categories in life. There's sports, and there's sex, love, and romance, and there's marriage, home, and family life, and there's politics, and there's stage and screen, and there's the literary life. And so what I've done is I've tried to put these quotations into various categories. So people often have a favorite category, and so they tend to go to those first.
Mm-hmm. You, one of the early ones that you write in, what is the backstory on this? So many people have used this, and it really is an inspirational Neverism. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world.
Oh, you know, that's that may be Margaret. In fact, that is Margaret Mead's most famous quote. If you go up to the website, the tribute website to Margaret Mead, that quote appears along the top of the page. And, you know, I've always loved the quote, but one of the fascinating things about, you know, my work as a quotation researcher is I get a chance to just call people up and ask them about the quote. So Margaret Mead, of course, has passed away, but I called up her daughter and got her on the phone, and I said, I've always loved this quote from your mother. I wonder if you can tell me a little bit about it. And she said to me, well, you know, you must talk to my daughter, Margaret Mead's granddaughter. And so she put me in touch with her, and what I've discovered about that quote is really interesting, and that is that along the way, over the last 20 or 25 years, many people who Margaret Mead would have despised for their own political or philosophical beliefs that were different from hers were fond of quoting Margaret Mead's quote that you've just offered. Never doubt that a small, thoughtful group of people can change the world. And so what Margaret Mead's granddaughter did was they registered the quote, so now people have to get permission to use it. And they've graciously given me permission to use it in the book, and I appreciate that.
You write that a lot of the quotes in here have come from fictional characters because they would just jump off the page at you as you were reading some well-known novels.
Oh, you know, I mean, they're wonderful examples, and of course, now that you're sort of asking me to bring one up from memory, you know, I'm kind of coming up dry. Is there one in particular that you're thinking about that that meant something to you?
Oh, they're probably I marked all of them in the book. Well, there were a lot from Rita Mae Brown.
I'll tell you one that's coming right to mind.
All right.
Every one of your listeners is familiar with To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes.
And, of course, that was Harper Lee's 1960 novel. That was made into an award-winning film with Gregory Peck. Remember playing that wonderful role as Atticus Finch? The novel is narrated by Atticus Finch's daughter, whose name is Scout. And in that book, she talks about a legal maxim that was drilled into her head from the very first time she could remember people talking to her. And it's what I call a multiple neverism, because sometimes one never is just not enough, and you have to add one or two more of them. And the quote that comes from that book is, never, never, never on cross-examination ask a witness a question you don't already know the answer to. And I can remember reading that when I first read Harper Lee's book, and then to see that line also show up in the film was pretty special.
I remember interviewing Alan Alda when his book, which I mean the title is so funny and the story behind it, but that book, Never Have Your Dog Stuffed, in one of your chapters has that heading.
You know, I have a chapter on titles of books and movies and songs, and when I first saw this title, Never Have a Dog Stuffed, and other lessons I've learned, Alan Alda's autobiography, I thought to myself, what in the heck does that mean? And I'm not going to tell the story here, but if people just pick up the book, they will find a delightful story that Alda recalls from when he was 7 years of age. He had polio, and he was given a pet dog by his parents to kind of get him through this difficult time he was going through. And after the dog died and he and his father were digging a grave to put the dog away forever, they both broke down in tears, and they couldn't do it. And Alan looked up at his dad and said, you know, what should we do? And his dad said, maybe we should have the dog stuffed. And thereupon, happened another interesting set of experiences, so much so that Alan Alda said that saying, never have a dog stuff, became the kind of metaphor that guided him for the rest of his life.
Wow. Some of these are just so straightforward that you want to use them all the time, and they're not from any really, really famous people, or they're not philosophers necessarily, but I love some of these. Never do anything stupid. From, you know, Ben Crenshaw. Well he's right.
Once asked him, Ben Crenshaw, of course, is a famous golfer, now retired. Somebody said, what's your philosophy of life? He said, never do anything stupid.
I kind of like that
one. Some of the best neverisms don't come from philosophers or people who we normally associate with wisdom. I was at a cocktail gathering, a neighborhood gathering a couple of months ago, and I happened to overhear a couple of teenage girls talking with a couple of adult women who live in my neighborhood about a problem they had with their boyfriends. And I was just kind of eavesdropping, and they were complaining about the fact that sometimes their teenage boyfriends were so insecure that they, as girls, felt that they couldn't really be their full and complete selves in front of them because it would sort of overshadow their boys. Well, you know, I mean, I've been a psychologist for, you know, 35 years. I hate to see this kind of thing being described where, you know, people kind of put themselves down or show themselves in a kind of an inferior light just to meet the needs of some insecure boyfriend. So I interjected myself in the conversation, and I said, I couldn't help overhear what you guys were talking about, and it reminds me of a quote I recently heard from Tyra Banks. Well, these two 16-year-old girls looked at me, you know, because I'm 69 years old, and, you know, they're thinking, how does this Methuselah guy even know who Tyra Banks is? And then I said to them, Tyra Banks said recently, never dull your shine for anybody else. Huh. And they looked at me and they said, wow, that's a
heavy,
deep observation.
Right.
And it is a deep observation.
Yes, it is.
And it comes from somebody we don't normally associate with deep wisdom, does it?
No, I like that one. I'll remember that. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Dr. Marty Grothy is our guest. His latest book is Neverisms, A Quotation Lover's Guide to Things You Should Never Do, Never Say, or Never Forget. And Marty is making a copy of his book available to the person who gives us the best neverism during the course of our conversation. So he will judge which one's best, and then he's going to be sending you a copy of the book, which is fun. So you can do Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. You can do email, talk@WPR.org. You can do telephone, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. And let's go to Susan in Milwaukee next. Hi, Susan.
Hello. I'm calling. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This is not original with me, and I'm not sure where it came from, but I've had many a chuckle over it. And it goes, never play poker with a man called Doc.
Never eat at a place called Tom's.
Ever marry someone with more troubles than you have.
Oh, yeah. You know, those quotations can all be traced back to a novel by Nelson Algren about 50 years ago. I tell the story behind that in the book. So if you ever, Susan, get a chance to pick up the book, if you go to the author index at the very back, you'll see Algren / Nelson, and he offers three of the neverisms in that same passage. And the one that you didn't mention was never eat at a place called Mom's.
Right. I think she may have said that, but we didn't hear that. Never eat a place called... Yeah. Or what about... Who said... Or Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, never eat a place...
Oh, golly. That
Somebody
came from Mel Brooks, I think. It was, it was a classic sort of spin-off of that wonderful quote.
Yeah. I had a class with Nelson Algren's wife, actually. I haven't thought about this in years. At the University of Iowa many, many years ago, and she was a chain smoker. And I had a hard time listening to what she was saying because she would drag on the cigarette and no smoke ever came out. I don't know where it all went, but it all went inside her somehow.
Kathleen, if I may, I just found Nelson Algren's complete quote. It comes from his 1956 novel, A Walk on the Wild Side,
sure.
And the complete passage is, never play cards with a man called Doc, never eat at a place called Mom's, and never sleep with a woman whose troubles are worse than your own.
Yeah, those are good. Thanks, Susan, very much
Thank
for
you,
your
Susan.
Call. And I should add that she was a wonderful teacher, too. Claire in Milwaukee. Hi, Claire.
Hi. My neverism is from my mother, and it she told to me when I was a very young teenager, and it is, never have sex with anybody you wouldn't want to raise a child with. Let me tell you, in all of, when I was a kid, I was, oh, Mom, you know, but in my life, that has revealed so many layers of wisdom and kept me from getting in trouble and making bad decisions. And now, excuse me, I have two beautiful children with a really, really nice guy.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Well, Claire, what a tribute to your mom. Is she still living?
Oh, yes, she is.
Oh, and how delightful. Now, does she know how important that quotation has been to you?
Yes.
Oh, well, listen, thanks for sharing that. That's a perfect one, isn't it?
It is perfect.
And I have to tell you, one of my guilty pleasures is the Maury Show, and I find myself shouting that at the TV almost every day.
Yes, because it's ignored so often, right?
That's really a good neverism.
It's a perfect one.
I like that. I'm going to see my teenage son later today, and I'll weave that into the conversation somehow. Thanks, Claire, for the call. Jude is next in Madison. Hi, Jude.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. I actually have two, if that's okay. One is something that just kind of came from a quote by Bill. It's kind of off of that, and it's, never miss an opportunity to see beauty, read eloquence, hear music, or indulge in nature, for this is where living meets the reason to live.
Nice. Very nice.
And I just thought it was pretty. And then the other one is, never miss a chance to travel, which my dad always told me growing up. So.
Oh, isn't that nice? Yeah, one is nice and simple, and the other was a little bit more complex, but quite profound.
I think so. I think it is. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Well, these never miss an opportunity quotes are very interesting, and you know, Jude just talked about one there.
Let's do some of the political quotes. These, you'll know who they are, but see if our audience can guess. Never forget your spouse. Never forget whence you came. That one's a familiar refrain. Never attack an opponent's family. Never get introduced to the crowd at a sport event. Never question the honesty or integrity of a colleague. Never say something you don't want to see on the front page of the local paper. Tip O'Neill.
Yeah, those all, I believe, came from Tip O'Neill's autobiography, did they not?
Yeah, that's what you write. All politics is local.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, there's some wonderful political neverisms. Do you remember Larry Hagman from Dallas?
Yeah.
He played the role of what was his name on Dallas? J.R. Ewing?
Yeah, right.
He said the cardinal rule of politics was never get caught in bed with a live man or a dead woman.
Right.
That's typical J.R. Ewing quote.
Very good advice. We're going to welcome more phone calls. Our guest this hour is Marty Grothman. Dr. Grothman is the author of Neverisms, A Quotation Lover's Guide to Things You Should Never Do, Never Say, or Never Forget. And it's a picture of a cowboy with a knife and a cowboy with a gun on the front. And the neverisms, never bring a knife to a gunfight. He has really been generous in offering Marty Grothy a copy of his book to the best neverism that we receive in this hour. So you can share your neverisms on Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show, or send us an email, talk@WPR.org, or you can call 800-486-8655. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Dr. Marty Grothy, our guest, and let's go next to Jennifer in Waukon, Iowa. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello.
Hi.
I was calling one that my mom taught me at a young age and has kind of stuck with me through life is, never lie to your mother.
Perfect.
As a teenager, I learned that even if she didn't know I was lying, she would by the end of the story because she can read right through everything I say.
Well, that's one you can certainly pass along to your own children, too,
right,
Jennifer?
It is. I've taught it to a good many people over the years that don't ever bother lying to you,
well,
especially to my mother.
Short and sweet.
She'll catch you on it.
And I always couple that with something my mother always used to say to me, I wasn't born yesterday, honey. Yeah. I say the same thing now.
We do repeat the wisdom of our mothers, don't we?
We sure do. Katie is next. Hi, Katie.
Hi. Mine is never write anything you wouldn't want your mother to read anywhere.
Ooh. Boy, there's a lot of mother-related neverisms, aren't there?
Yep, we got a lot of smart moms out there.
We sure do. That's a good one.
Did you find that in your collection that there were a lot that came from? Well, I know Irma Bombeck she was read by a lot of women when she wrote her column. Why don't we talk about her a little bit?
I probably have a dozen of them from Irma Bombeck, and she said things like "Never go to a doctor whose office plants have died."
That's a good one.
Another one she said was "Never have more children than you have car windows."
Also good.
I think my favorite Bombeck one though was "Never loan your car to someone to whom you have given birth."
That's good. Going back to politicians for a moment, I won't even use the voice here, but you can almost guess who it was. Never give in, never give in, never, 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 never in nothing, great or small, large or penny, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force, never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
Well, of course, everybody is going to know that's Winston Churchill speaking. And I tell the story behind that wonderful quote at the very beginning of my multiple neverisms chapter. But he was just the most fantastic speaker. And, he gave that, he offered that multiple neverism in a speech to a group of students, actually, around 1941, his alma mater. He went back to speak to them, and he was asked to just give a few words of encouragement because it was right after the Battle of Britain, and, the young students were all fairly traumatized by all of this bombing that had occurred, and his notion of never, never, never give up was just, it was just echoed throughout the whole nation after that.
Mm-hmm. Wendy on the road. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Hi.
Mine I heard just before Mother's Day, and I have got two children just starting out in life, trying to save their money, and I heard this on the radio, so it could come from you. It was, I don't want your presence, I just want your presence.
Oh, yeah, that's a lovely piece of wordplay, isn't it, where we take the word presence and presence and kind of focus on the two separate meanings of those?
Yeah, and for the first time, I think they realized what I meant.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's like the basic notion underlying that, of course, is, people just want, the time and attention that you can give to them, not the gifts that you can give.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for
the
call.
Wendy.
Thomas Jefferson, you write about Thomas Jefferson writing a list of what he called his Decalogue of Canons for Observation in Practical Life. That's a pretty wordy thing.
But I know.
It starts with neverisms. Never put off till tomorrow what you can do today, although there's a long history of that one. Never trouble another what you can do yourself, and never spend your money before you have it. Those are from Jefferson. But the first one, never put off till tomorrow what you can do today, there are variations on that and completely the opposite advice on that. But where did that come from?
Well, I tell the story behind that in the book as well. It comes from a gentleman named Lord Chesterfield. His name was Philip Stanhope, and he was a very proper English gentleman back in the 1700s, and he actually fathered an illegitimate child with a French nanny, and so this child never was raised by him, but when the little boy became five and went to school, Chesterfield did everything he could to have him raised as a proper English gentleman, and so he wrote over 1,000 letters to this young boy as he was growing up, and then after the young man unexpectedly passed away at around age 35, There's a rather interesting story about how these letters all became public that I tell in the book. I won't go into the details of it here. But one of the things that Lord Chesterfield did in his letters to his son was offer these little wonderful pieces of advice, like never put off till tomorrow what you can do today. And that became a classic quotation. And I've got a whole chapter on what I call classic neverisms. And you know a quotation is a classic when it begins to become parodied. And so what happened 50 or 60 years after that quote became famous is we began to see it tweaked and twisted around and turned on its head. And there's a wonderful example that comes from Humphrey Bogart in that wonderful movie, The African Queen.
Yes.
You know, so instead of the Chesterfield version, which is never put off till tomorrow what you can do today, the Bogart character says, never do today what you can put off till tomorrow.
Which one do you live by, Marty?
Well, I think I live by both of them at different times of the day.
Good answer, Marty. I like this one. Never befriend the oppressed unless you are prepared to take on the oppressor. Ogden Nash. That's a good one, isn't it?
Oh, that's a wonderful one. That comes from a poem, and you know who that comes from, don't you?
Ogden Nash.
Ogden Nash, absolutely right. Yeah, it's a great, and it's really kind of nice because sometimes we start a battle, but we're not prepared to kind of carry it all the way through. So his notion that we should never befriend the oppressed until we're prepared to really take on the person that's putting that somebody down, you know, it was kind of a nice little poetic piece of advice.
Mm-hmm. You have some of these classics, never speak ill of the dead, never sweat the small stuff, never judge by appearances, never take no for an answer, never mix business with pleasure, never throw good money after bad, never spend money before you have it, never answer a question before it's asked, never believe everything you hear and believe only half of what you see. Can we attribute those to anybody? Why have those withstood the test of time?
Well, you know, some of them were authored by some anonymous person centuries ago, and they just caught on and they took on a kind of proverbial status. And, you know, those will never, ever discover the original author of. But some of the modern proverbs, you know, we are able to learn who authored them. Did you mention the never let them see you sweat there?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I always thought that was just a modern proverb that we'd never be able to find the original author of. But lo and behold, I discovered that that quotation does have an original author, and his name was Phil Slott. He was a very famous advertising copywriter for an ad agency in New York City that was hired by Gillette when Gillette wanted to do an advertising campaign for their new Dry Idea deodorant. And this resulted, and so one day he was just thinking about how do I want to like convey this, and the notion came to him, never let them see you sweat.
Mm.
And in 1985, there was a remarkable series of four television commercials that featured Lauren Hutton, Elaine Boozler, a guy named Dan Reeves, who was the coach of the Denver Broncos at the time, and Donna Karen, the fashion designer, and they all had the same format. They would start off by saying, there are three nevers in my profession. And in the case of Dan Reeves, the first one, he said, the first one is never let the press pick your quarterback. And the second one is never take an underdog team too lightly. And the third one is no matter what the score, never let them see you sweat.
Ah.
So all of them had like two of these neverisms that were related to the profession that they were in. And then the last one was never let them see you sweat. And if people come up to my website, which is www.drmardy.com, D-R-M-A-R-D-Y, they can easily see the Neverisms tab there. If they click that tab, they will see a link to YouTube Neverisms, and by clicking that link right now today, they can see all four of those dry idea television commercials, which are absolutely classics.
Wonderful.
In the field of advertising.
Fun. Oh, you've given us some fun today. Good.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Lisa in Partyville. Hi, Lisa.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi. The book sounds wonderful, I first wanted to say, but I actually have taken a quote from my ex-husband that was very wild, and he was the very wrong man for me. The one thing that he did leave me with was this quote, and I don't use it for what he intended it for. He intended it for motorcycling, and he lived this. But I use it for more things, my grandchildren, just reminding myself not to get old. And sometimes I say this to someone that I pass that seems a little over-conservative or prim and proper, or they just need a little kick in the butt. But
okay.
The quote that he gave me, or that he used all the time, is drive fast, take chances, corner hard, and brake late. And, of course, you don't want to do that motorcycling. He did. But I use this in my own ways, and I say it to myself every now and then.
Oh, wow. So he meant it literally, but you kind of use it more metaphorically.
Yes, I do.
Oh, that's lovely. Well, what I mean, a nice tribute.
Thanks, Lisa. Rebecca on the road. Hi.
Hi. The one I have is actually kind of, it's a comical spin on things. It's from a radio show that I listen to in the morning, and they often say this whenever there's a news article or something that they're reading where they caught, you know, some dumb criminal or someone that did something really stupid.
Yeah.
And they'll always respond with, don't take any pictures, don't write anything down, deny, deny, deny.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I often repeat that whenever I hear something really stupid or something somebody shouldn't have done, but they did it anyway.
Well, that's where we should come up with that never do anything stupid one, right?
Yes, never do anything stupid.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Yeah, thanks. Jerry in Milwaukee. Hi, Jerry.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, I want to share never, but I'll give you the back end story. Is it came from the mother of a girlfriend of mine who was en route to spend a semester abroad in Ireland, and she was battling, the girlfriend was battling with keeping up with her studies and all the opportunities of being abroad presented her, and her mother said, "Well, never let school get in the way of your education."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I just thought.
No, that's profound. A classic one, Jerry, and it's a classic thought that's often attributed to Mark Twain as well. But it's a really neat concept, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Thank you very much for the call. Another guy who we can guess who this is, you'll know, but never blame a legislative body for not doing something. When they do nothing, they don't hurt anybody. When they do something is when they become dangerous.
Thank you, Will Rogers.
Will Rogers, yeah. 1920s syndicated column. Yeah. Jerry, thanks for your call. Bobby in Waterloo. Hi.
Good morning. Well, I have another Mark Twain that's a little Mark Twain-ish, I guess.
Oh, good.
And that is, never argue with a fool. Officers may not be able to tell the difference.
Yes, indeed.
That's a good one.
I love
indeed.
That one.
Indeed, yeah. He had a way of phrasing things, didn't he?
Yep, he did. And then I have another one that's always a never.
Ooh, you got both of them in there.
Always and never are two words that you should always remember never to use.
Perfect.
Thanks,
perfect.
Bobby.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Paul in Duluth. Hi, Paul.
Hi, this is a fun show. I've got a neverism, but earlier on, the quote about never get caught with a dead woman or a live toy, according to James Carville, that is the state slogan of Louisiana.
Oh, James, what a guy you are.
Anyway, the neverism I've heard recently, and it's been used a lot lately, is I attribute it to Rahm Emanuel, the governor or the mayor-elect of Chicago. He said, never let a crisis go to waste.
Oh, Paul, I'm so glad you're bringing that up, because that actually is not a Rahm Emanuel quote. But it's very close to something that Rahm Emanuel said. The quote that you were offering there actually comes from Fareed Zakaria. He's a very popular broadcaster, news broadcaster, and I tell the story behind that quote in the book. Emanuel had said something about related to that concept of we really got to take advantage of a crisis before it goes away. And then all of a sudden, about 2 months later, Fareed Zakaria came on and said, never let a crisis go to waste. And that's the quotation that everybody remembers, even though the seed had been planted much before, not only by Rahm Emanuel, but by a couple of other people as well.
Merci, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, bye. This happens in my, well, it doesn't happen all the time because these things don't happen very often, but some of these are superstitious. Where did we get, you have a chapter on sports neverisms, never mention a no-hitter. Where did that come from?
Well, this one goes back. I actually begin the sports chapter with a whole tale about, because the title of the sports chapter is Never Mention a No-Hitter When It's in Progress. And this is just one of a whole set of what are called the unwritten rules of baseball. And that particular one goes back probably 70 or 80 years. It probably began to originate in the 1920s. Nobody knows the original author of it. But every young lad or young lass who's taken up the game of baseball has heard that one drilled into them from the earliest of ages. And it's a superstition that's become, just widely popular.
And I like this one from Babe Ruth, never let the fear of striking out get in your way.
Well, isn't that, that's just one of those wonderful kind of metaphorical neverisms, because at one level, he's talking about never let the fear of striking out go, get in your way. But at another level, we can apply that to so many other things in life. I remember Fred Allen and Gracie Allen.
Oh, of course.
Gracie Allen once said, never place a period where God has placed a comma.
Ah.
I mean, that's another beautiful,
that's a lovely one.
Thought.
Oh, I like that one, yeah. Thanks, Paul, so much for the call. Bruce on the road. Hey, Bruce.
Hi.
Hi, Bruce.
Hey, I travel a lot, and I live by... never take a shortcut you haven't taken before.
It sounds like you've learned that one from hard experience.
I have.
But do take a shortcut.
What's that?
But do take a shortcut.
Well, I've taken plenty, but not anymore.
All right. Thanks for the call. Bill in Franklin. Hi.
Hello?
Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Bill. Oh, okay. Well, it's actually Joe in Franklin.
Oh, okay. Hi, Joe.
Mine, and I've given this to a lot of young people, and they've all told me it's good advice. Never spend more than $20 on a pair of sunglasses.
Wow, that is a good one, and very current.
Yes. Otherwise, you spend, people who spend $120, you lose them, you sit on them, something or other, and it's a big loss.
Isn't it true? 20 bucks.
You can buy another pair.
All right, and you made that one up yourself, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Wise words from Joe.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. All right, bye. Bob in Eau Claire, hi.
Good morning. I had a veterinarian in Aiken, Minnesota, who had a sign out in front of his shop that was delightful. Never try to teach a pig to sing. It will only frustrate you and annoy the pig.
Thank you, Bob. That's a classic quotation. There's actually an original author of that. His name is Robert Heinlein. He's a science fiction author. And so if you ever pick up the book and you want to discover who originally offered that line and where it originally appeared, it comes from Robert Heinlein. But it's a perfect one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your book.
Yeah, it's lovely. Thank you, Bob.
You bet. Bye-bye.
We have a ton of emails that have come in via email, of course, so I'll just read some of these to you. Never let your fears run your life. Never trust a person who says, trust me.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. Never, ever, ever hurt a child. I like that one.
Yeah.
Never leave it to spell check.
Oh, perfect.
So that's good. Never frown when you can smile.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And never forget some things. Sometimes getting what you want can be worse than not getting what you want.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah. We'll welcome more phone calls. Our guest this hour is Marty Grothy. He's the author of Neverisms, a quotations lover's guide to things you should never do, never say, or never forget. Marty has been our guest on many occasions because he's the author of a number of other books. I Have Never Metaphor I Didn't Like, Viva la Repartee, Oxymoronica, Iferisms, and Never Let a Fool Kiss You or a Kiss Fool You. And there are thousands of quotations in here. It's amazing. He collects them all his life, but you never would have thought there are as many neverisms from all walks of life. And some are extremely profound, and some are just downright fun, and some are fun and profound. You never would have thought that there were so many of them. And we're having fun this hour. We're just having fun all around, but he's also going to pick the best neverism that he has either heard or that he has gone over, because we've had so many of them come in on emails as well and on Facebook. So we're going to give him all, and then we'll announce who the person is who's getting the book. When will we do that, Chrissy? We'll announce that Monday? Is that too late? All right, Monday. I'm not here tomorrow, so Monday. That'll be fun, so you can live in great anticipation until Monday when you find out that maybe you won. More calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 800-486-8655. And Randy in Madison is our next caller. Hi, Randy.
Hi, good morning. This is a hard one I've gleaned from life. Never say, well, I'll be a monkey's uncle to a group of Southern Baptists.
Now, are you the author of that?
As far as I know, I am.
Oh, Randy, I think that's very impressive.
Randy, we're going to... Well, it sounds to me like you may be one of the...
Randy's definitely in the finalist category.
All right, you're a finalist. You're gonna have to listen on Monday, Randy.
Okay, could I write that popularity then with a couple... A couple of aphorisms that I've given to my nieces.
Of course.
Sure. For one, who's very scholarly, never forget that people are more important than ideas.
Oh, yeah.
And for the other, who's just a really special person, I said never miss an opportunity to show a little class.
Oh, wow. Hey, Randy,
nice,
you sound
Randy.
Like the philosopher of your family.
For me?
You sound like a philosopher of your family, Randy, is what Marty said.
Oh, I believe in philosophy with a capital F, yes.
And a wit as well.
Thanks, Randy.
Thanks, Randy.
All right. Sure. Be listening on Monday. That's a pretty darn good one. Camille in Frankfurt. Hi, Camille.
Hi, what a fun show.
Thanks.
I hope that your guest knows who said, never let the facts get in the way of telling the truth.
Mm.
My very favorite.
Yeah, do you know where that comes from?
No, that's what I'm hoping you know.
No. You won't find an original author for that. That one has been used many, many, many times in the newspaper profession. And so I talk a little bit about that in the book as well, but sometimes it's never let the facts get in the way of a good story as well.
Right.
That's a lovely thought, isn't it, Camille?
Yes. Well, and it's with regard to telling the truth with a capital T.
Oh, indeed.
It is so apropos.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you, Camille.
Okay. Bye-bye.
No, thanks. I believe, and this is in your book, a president said this, and you can imagine who would have, never pass up a free beer or a free bathroom.
You know, there are many, many politicians that have said things very similar to that. And it all seemed to have started with the King of England who abdicated the throne to marry the American divorcee.
Yes.
You know, who said that the best advice he ever got was related to, you know, never pass up an opportunity to go to the bathroom.
Thanks, Camille, very much for the call. I like this one, too. Albert Schweitzer, never say there is nothing beautiful in the world anymore.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I've got a whole chapter of what are called words to live by, mm-hmm. neverisms. And, you know, I can't, I mean, even after I've written this doggone book, after I go through that chapter, I always feel just a little bit uplifted by all of these wonderful, inspirational sayings.
Mm-hmm. And do you put them on little 3x5 cards in your house or on stick-it notes? Or?
Well, I don't do that anymore, Kathleen. As you know from our past conversations, this all started for me about 50 years ago when I read Henry David Thoreau's Walden, and I was taken so much by the quotations in that book. I wrote about 50 little Thoreau quotations on 3x5 index cards and pasted them up in my off-campus apartment. But, you know, now I can't do that anymore. I've got to just kind of put them in my various and sundry computer files.
Mm-hmm. Janice in Fort Atkinson, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good. I learned a long time ago, never say my child would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Because ultimately, they have done it or they will do it.
So. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a nice variation on the old theme of never say never, isn't it?
It is. It is. And the other one I have is never take your mother for granted.
Oh,
because,
perfect.
Because I lost my mother when she was very young, and my kids, I see my kids now taking me for granted like it's so easy, and I always think that's pretty important.
Well, that never take your mother for granted is it's a lovely thought, clearly, and it's just also related to the more general thought, never take anything for granted. And, you know, one of the unique problems of human beings is we take so many things for granted. So whenever we can be reminded that that's not a good thing to do, that's wonderful.
Thank you, Janice.
Thank you.
Patty on the road. Hi, Patty.
Hello. As I'm on the road to Madison for a class on infant early childhood and family mental health, this came to mind. Never miss the opportunity to make a connection with a child.
Oh, very sweet thought.
Very nice,
Thank
Patty.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ken is next in Milwaukee. Hi, Ken.
Hi. What a fun show. Thank you. Two quotes, if I might. One was from Abba Eba, and I believe he was talking about Yasser Arafat when he said, he never misses an opportunity to miss an opportunity.
Yeah, that's correct.
And I've used that a lot. another one is my own, I think, and it's never say more than you have to.
Oh, perfect. Very short and sweet.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Sure.
Thanks, Ken. Who's the one who said to use a short word? You don't need a long word when a short word will do.
That actually appeared in a 1946 essay by George Orwell.
Orwell.
And it's one of George Orwell's six rules of writing. They've become quite famous. Almost every writer or editor is familiar with them. And I talk about that in the chapter on the literary life. And I can remember you and I had a conversation about William Safire.
Yes.
Shortly after he passed away.
Yes.
And, you know, he tweaked that famous saying by George Orwell. He said, never use a short word when a diminutive one will do.
Thank you, Ken, for your call. Pat in East Troy. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I have a couple. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush is the way we usually hear it, but my husband used to say, a bird in the hand is awfully messy.
Perfect.
And there's another one. It was directed at me. Never have a duel of wits with a stupid woman.
Yeah, that's a wonderful observation that's been tweaked in so many different ways, isn't it?
Well, I got it.
Perfect.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Pat.
Ron, hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I have one that I seems to be very true, and that's nothing is never, ever, or always.
Yeah.
seems to fit many things.
You know, it's one of those rules of living, I think, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Charlie in Milwaukee. Hi.
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 sometimes neverisms get misinterpreted as they are handed down over the years. And there's a very common example that was clarified by the writer Ambrose Bierce in his book, The Devil's Dictionary.
Yes.
He has an entry in The Devil's Dictionary for the word die, which he defines as the plural of the word dice. And he says, but you seldom hear it because of a prohibitory proverb, which I'm sure that you can think of. Never say die.
Oh, of course. Perfect. Well, that's nice. Well, you know, Ambrose Bierce was a remarkable wordsmith, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Thank you so much for the
Thanks,
call.
Charlie.
Thanks. Now, Marty, we have a ton of emails that have come in as well. So to be fair about this, we're going to send them your way because you're
giving
somebody, one of our listeners, a copy of your book. And you remember those that stuck out from our conversation. And we have Facebook, too. So we'll make an announcement on Monday.
Well, you know, since so many of these entries have come in, I think what we should do, Kathleen, is let's not just have one winner.
Okay.
Let's have three winners.
Oh, Marty.
So on Monday, what we'll do is we'll announce, we won't list them one, two, three in order. We'll just say there are three winners, and each one of these winners will receive a personally inscribed and autographed copy of the new Neverisms book from me.
And never be anything but generous. Thank you, Marty.
Well, thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate your longstanding interest in my efforts.
Yeah, it's been great fun. Great hour. Dr. Marty Grothy, Neverisms is the name of his book. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this show. Chrissy Peace for On Air Production.